This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
But this was a fourth quarter for the Patriots, and it is a Patriots night. After missing the playoffs in the last 3 years, and in Mike Vrabel's first year leading the Pats, New England will be a part of the tournament. The Patriots clinch a playoff berth.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
For a comeback, Mego!
What's up?
How are you, Mego?
I'm a little anxious because whoever's been sitting in this seat has been putting on a show with his hairdo.
Oh.
I feel like the Twitch stream is going to be underwhelmed today.
You have some big hair shoes to follow.
Yeah,
that is
hair
true.
Shoes sounds disgusting. Don't say that again.
You know, it wasn't disgusting. Nice comeback win for the Patriots last night. Something a lot of people have been asking for, begging for, myself included. Drake May leading a win with his team down and trailing, putting the team on his back, something he couldn't do against the Raiders, something he couldn't do against Pittsburgh, something he couldn't do a week ago against Buffalo. He comes through last night. He had his first 300-yard game, which I know you care about greatly.
Thank God, because there would be nothing to his MVP conversation if he hadn't had a 300-yard game in his career. We all know that's the mark of an elite quarterback, is passing the 300-yard mark.
So he got that last night. Patriots get the win, and you could talk about it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram. At Jones and Keefe, you can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. You can watch there. You can chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. All our normal bells and whistles here today on Jones and Keefe. But Mego, they get the come-from-behind win last night. It was ugly for large stretches. The Patriots were fortunate. No Lamar Jackson. The Ravens forgot they had Derrick Henry. And yet, the Patriots get the win. They're in the driver's seat for the division. They're back in the mix for the number one seed. What did last night mean to the Patriots?
So, to me, it was just all about the fourth quarter. And I think it kind of, you fix some things that have been an issue for the team the entire year. But I think it was a big moment of growth for Drake May individually. As you said, this isn't something that we've really seen from him before. And when I was doing the pregame show with Shime yesterday, I was saying this is going to become a thing if he doesn't do it. If he doesn't prove that he can have a strong fourth quarter, this is going to be a talking point. So we've avoided that talking point for at least this season and in the playoffs, because you can always go back and say, well, look, he did it against the Ravens, even though they were without Lamar Jackson, and even though Derrick Henry was benched for some reason for the last 7 minutes of the game. All that aside, he did it. I think it's a really important stepping stone for him. I don't know that it puts him squarely back into the like top two, top three MVP conversation, but I think the fourth quarter was everything for last night. It's kind of the reverse of who they've been for so much of the season, where they have these great first halves. They have great three quarters, and then the fourth quarter, they kind of sit back and chill. So I think that Patriots fans and Drake May super fans like Scheim should feel a lot more confident just about him having that experience.
So I think that's a fair way of putting it, that he had to do it and the team had to do it. Like, not necessarily the comeback, but they had to put that Buffalo loss behind them, because if you go out and blow a giant lead against the Bills and then lose the way it looked like they were on the way to losing last night against Baltimore, it doesn't mean the Patriots couldn't win a playoff game, can't go on a run or anything like that. But the actual conversation nationally about the Patriots, the fool's gold, Cam Newton stuff, I'm sure would be right back in your face if you lose that game. Never mind like my personal confidence level in the team going into the playoffs. You lose your last real game against Baltimore, and I think this was the last real game. Jets and Dolphins are not that. You lose your last real game against Baltimore after you blow that lead against Buffalo. I wouldn't feel good about the Patriots going into the playoffs, regardless of who they got. Now they get that victory last night. I think the whole conversation changes, and maybe they feel differently about themselves as well. I don't know how they were feeling about themselves going into the game. But you have Drake May in the fourth quarter, 12 out of 14, 139. The touchdown pass to Kyle Williams. He was leading him on a drive before Ramondre Stevenson, the Patriots' first designed run play in forever. Got into the end zone, down 11, led him back, had a two-point conversion in there as well. The only incompletions in the fourth quarter, one was a throwaway, and I'm trying to remember the other now. But
well,
he only
you get Kayshon Booty with the...
Oh, that's what it was. Thank you.
With the bizarre call.
Where he's dragged to
bizarre
the ground.
Bizarre no call, I should say.
That is exactly what it was. So the bizarre no call, which Booty, by the way, should have held on to it. I feel like that's kind of been lost in the PI call there.
It wasn't Booty's greatest night of the season. That was a really strange no call.
It should have been a flag. It absolutely should have been a flag. But here's what I love about the comeback as well. They overcame it. They overcame a bad call, what should have been a call against them, and that's what good teams do. Bad teams cry about the refs. And I was worried coming out of the Bills game last week that that's what was going on. We're crying about the refs. We're crying about missed calls. Good teams overcome it, and they do it quickly, and they do it with no problem, which is exactly what they did. So I love that about the Patriots last night. I love that performance out of Drake May. And I do think it's a significant win for him and the team, because at some point you have to do it. And if you don't, it just turns into a growing conversation about you. And look at what gets held against Lamar Jackson. He's a two-time MVP. And we talk about him like he can't win a big game. Josh Allen, same thing. MVP, talk about him like he can't win a big game. Never mind guys like Justin Herbert who haven't won in the playoffs. That sticks to you and sticks to you real quick. And we're not in the postseason yet, but at least he can check a few of these boxes going into the playoffs where we had some questions.
And I think, whenever I'm covering these games for WEI, my process, transparently, is writing like dueling columns as the game is going on. And so I always have like my loss column and my win column based on how it's going. And in the loss column, I started out so much of that game looking at Drake May and going like, he is hurting the team. Like, he was really hurting the team. He left a conservative 6 points on the board because two times they were in field goal range, and it would have been an easy couple of points for them to collect, and he turns the ball over. He gave the ball away, and I was like, this is a concerning trend for him. What I think should give you confidence is that in the fourth quarter, he shrugs all of it off, and he's still taking the deep shots to Kayshon Booty. He still has the go ball to Kyle Williams. Again, that's not a go ball to Stephon Diggs, who is really his safety release valve for this entire offense when he's not in double coverage. It's Kyle Williams. It's somebody who he's thrown that ball to a couple times this season, and he's a rookie. And he just still is, like, the confidence that May brings, it's not just like, oh, swag of whatever, you know, walking around the stadium, because he doesn't have very much of that, as he said. It's in those moments, he's like, yeah, I'm taking the shot, whatever. I had a dumb turnover and I had a dumb fumble and I'm over it.
Well, so that is the backdrop for it too, right? The pick was bad. You know, Kayshon Booty, I think, gave up on the play, as you said earlier, not his strongest night. Booty gave up on the play, still a bad pick by May. They had the fumble before halftime. He had another near fumble where he fell on it.
He almost threw three picks.
He could have thrown a lot of picks last night. It's true. So it was not his cleanest night. And then he overcomes all that in the fourth quarter to put the Ravens away. Never mind, he was getting the crap kicked out of him. Like, yeah. The Ravens were coming after him. They were hitting him. He was hanging in there. He was making throws.
The whole team was getting the crap kicked out of him.
That's true. That is true. They lost quite a few guys last night. Although, it's hard to cry too much about injuries when the Ravens lost the MVP on the other
side.
They
also lost Stephon Diggs, who disappeared out of the back of the blue tent and was like, I'm good, guys. Stop talking about my head.
Text line says here, guys, it's a big win against a 7-8 team that lost their quarterback. Yeah, I think so. I think that was a pretty big win for them last night. If you don't want to count it as like a signature playoff caliber win, fine. The Ravens probably aren't going to the playoffs. That was a big win for what it represented going into the postseason and for what it represented for Drake May. So I do think it was a big win.
And here's the thing for the Ravens. Lamar hasn't been Lamar for most of the year. Tyler Huntley, technically a Pro Bowler, just saying,
that's a good
from
point.
2023, okay? I know that not really. It's not like he's all pro or anything, but he's an okay backup, and he didn't look that much worse than Lamar did for much of the season. And really, it was Derrick Henry, Kyle Hamilton, and Zay Flowers who were going to beat you this game, and those guys were in. Like, maybe if Kyle Hamilton, Zay Flowers, and Derrick Henry had gone out, well, the Ravens took Derrick Henry out at the end of the game, but those other guys, then you'd say, like, yeah, this is not a real Ravens team. Yeah, it's like a big caveat to lose the starting quarterback, but the starting quarterback has been off all year.
He has been. I would rather have him out there than Tyler Huntley, but he has been not himself this year, that's for sure. The Patriots win, clinches a playoff berth for the first time since 2021. They are 7-0 on the road with that victory and feeling pretty good with just two games left in the regular season. Mike Vrabel, after the game, on the comeback win for the Pats.
Getting into the playoffs the way that you did, what does that say about your team?
Well, I mean, I think that it was good to be in a game like this where we battled and it was tied and we got down and, you know, momentum kind of shifted the other way and our guys battled back. We got stops. Offense continued to attack and our quarterback, you know, battled and our receivers came through and our runners and it was a great. I felt like it was a big team win. It was a huge team win. Or, you know, Andy kicked the ball well. You know, so again, it was just, you know, we lost a lot of guys. A lot of guys went down. A lot of guys stepped up, and we're gonna have to get healthy. But I think that this was a great win for us.
Good team win. Good come from behind win for the Patriots, as he said, a good win. Which apparently not everybody agrees with. You can weigh in at 617-779-7937. Drake May with a huge fourth quarter, first 300-yard game, as we discussed, also after the win last night.
Yeah, so proud of this team, man. Took everybody. That's what we knew coming into it. You know, our goal this week is win together. And, man, it was together. It felt good getting that one. And I think just props to these guys. You know, keep fighting. We got guys going down, guys coming in, taking, you know, plays, more plays than probably I've ever had. And guys getting tired and pushing through, and defense stepping up, making big plays, forcing fumbles, and we talked about things all week, and we hit some of them, and obviously there's some things that I'd like to have back, but you know, right now it just feels good to get a win.
Okay, feels good to get a win, plays he'd like to have back. What jumps out to you on those final couple of drives, really three drives if you want to count them running out the clock, but the two touchdown drives and then the one after that, what jumps out to you from last night?
Well, I'd also say on the other side of the ball, because it doesn't get talked about as much, but Kalyvon Chason's play was huge. And I think that's one thing about this defense is that you're down Milton Williams, you're getting gouged by Derrick Henry to a point where it was just really like borderline embarrassing. You're like, you cannot stop him. I don't understand what the Ravens were thinking. But you get plays from a couple guys or even early in the game with like Jaylen Hawkins where he's able to force a turnover. There is something that happened early in the season with the offense where you look at different guys and you're like, oh, he could be a playmaker. Oh, he could do something. Oh, look, it's his turn to do something. And I think you got a little taste of that with the defense at the end of the game last night. And as much as we focus on who Drake May was in the fourth quarter, the final drive, how different he looked in those last 5 minutes compared to the crap show that was Buffalo at the end of the game. Like, I do think that the, not to be Mike Vrabel over here, but the defense got some stops that were important.
No, I mean, the chasing play was huge, right? And you could see, that was one of those where when you're watching on your TV, you're like, oh my God, you could like see it happening before yes. it happened. Flowers had no idea he was there.
And Flowers had been killing you for yes. most of the game. So to finally see somebody strip him, take him down, you're like, oh my God, it's just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Therapeutic.
No, Flowers had been killing the Patriots and specifically Christian Gonzalez, which we're already getting texts about. We'll yes. get to that coming up. But yeah, he had the 18-yard touchdown run. He looked dangerous on that play there. Chased him down. Two different fumbles for us last night. You mentioned the other one earlier from Jaylen Hawkins. But the Patriots were trailing 24-13 after Derrick Henry had the 2-yard touchdown run, which was an easy drive for Baltimore. He had a 22-yard run earlier on the drive. 7 plays, 44 yards in 4:03. So Henry gets that 2-yard touchdown run with 12:50 left in the game. It's the last time he touched the ball. The next drive after that, Patriots answer back with a Kyle Williams 37-yard touchdown. 7 plays, 73 yards for the Pats. So May starts to lock in a little bit there. They get the 2-point conversion. It's a 3-point game. Baltimore gets the ball back. Derrick Henry's not on the field. You're trying to run out the clock. Henry's been victimizing the Patriots. He just victimized them on the last drive. It's not like he never played again after his fumble. He had just torn them apart, and they don't go back to him. They go 6 plays, 13 yards. It's all Keaton Mitchell. They punt it back to the Pats, who then go 9 plays, 89 yards to get the lead. But that's wild. I hadn't heard Harbaugh's explanation after the game. You were telling me this. He basically said it was pre-planned.
He said it was, as I saw in reporting this morning, that it was a predetermined rotation for the running backs, to which I say, is this like a sacred rotation? Like, you can't break it? I mean, Derrick Henry was, first of all, you're down Lamar Jackson, so you're trying to run out the clock. You should be depending on the running game in every possible explanation. And then he's chilling on the bench. Like, it made zero sense. It was such a bizarre choice for them. Like, I really do think, like, I don't want to discredit the Patriots because, again, the fourth quarter was everything. But the Ravens made some really stupid decisions, and that was the stupidest.
And it's such a good point, too. It's not just that they had a pre-plan that Harbaugh couldn't look at it and go, well, I know we had this plan going into the game, but Henry's gouging them. Maybe I'll stick with him.
Is that his way of saying that he was too worried about Henry's ball protection when you're in clutch?
No. I mean, I think he's just probably making an excuse, and he doesn't want to acknowledge that, you know, he looks like a moron. It would be my guess. I didn't hear it. You were telling me about it, but that would be my guess. It's just a coach who doesn't want to be second-guessing. He's like, well, we had it pre-planned. Oh, you think I didn't think about putting Derrick Henry in? We had a plan. We stuck to our plan.
And it'd be better if he just forgot about Derrick Henry somehow completely
right.
than looking at Derrick Henry on the bench and saying, not this drive, big fella.
Yeah.
You sit there.
I don't know. I think that's horrible coaching when you can't adjust from your plan that you had going in. Like, oh, we had a plan. Well, guess what? The game happened, and, you know, 50 minutes
it's
of the game
awful.
Happened, and Henry ran all over him. So that's number one. Number one, he couldn't see that, apparently, or he was just too married to his game plan. Number two, you add on, and you said this, you lost Lamar Jackson. So even you had a plan, whatever. I guess there's something to be said for that. You lose the MVP on top of it, and you can't adjust. You don't adjust at all. You just stick to your game plan. When you were down Lamar Jackson, that's insanity. So the Ravens did you favors with, you know, basically benching Derrick Henry, keeping him off the field, and forgetting they even had him. You also were given a favor with Lamar Jackson getting knocked out of the game. I understand your point about Huntley. He's not a bum. But he's not Lamar Jackson. And so when the Patriots get the ball back after Henry's forgotten about, effectively benched, they go 9 plays, 89 yards. Steph Diggs, the monster play on fourth down, which I thought was a pick out of Drake May's hand. Never mind, was it not a pick. They converted the fourth down, and Diggs moved him 21 yards on that play. You had the controversial no call, one of Drake May's 2 incompletions in the fourth quarter, where Booty dropped it, we'll say. At the 5 or 6, there should have been a flag. It's staggering that there was no flag.
Booty looked like he got attacked by a bear. Like, he looked like he got ripped down to the ground. It was so crazy. Even on the broadcast, they're like, so there's no flag there? There's no flag. Okay, there's no flag. It was strange.
It was.
I don't want to spend like all this time bitching about the officials, but that was strange.
I'm happy we don't have to. And I tweeted this last night right when they scored. I'm like, thank God we don't have to spend all day talking about how the refs messed it up. And I'm sure that's what they're doing in Detroit today with the way that game ended against Pittsburgh. And I don't want to do that. I think that's a loser's lament, and the Patriots didn't lose. They overcame it, which is what good teams do. And they marched right down the field after that and made up for it. Flowers got stripped, as you mentioned, Mego, by Ke'Lavon Chaisson. And then the Pats had their final drive. Six plays, 25 yards. They ran out the clock. Stevenson picked up a run, and he was great last night, by the way. You needed Rhamondre Stevenson with Travion Henderson knocked out of the game. So Stevenson moved the chains. Then Drake May had that like tuck and run, 16-yarder to end out the clock or run out the clock. So the Ravens used all their timeouts. They were out of time. I thought between Stevenson staying in bounds and May sliding down by the goal line, I thought they showed a ton of like situational awareness.
That's exactly
on that drive. So I thought the whole fourth quarter, all three of those drives, including running out the clock, were impressive.
It was smooth too, because I think that there have been, for how smart Vrabel and his coaching staff have been in games, there's been a couple strange decisions or hiccups, and we'll get to the fake punt.
Oh, the fake punt.
Which, for some reason, nobody is... I hate doing the, like, nobody asked him in the press conference, but
yeah.
Really? Guys?
I don't believe he's been asked yet. Hopefully that happens at 11:30 or whenever he meets with the media today. I don't believe he's been asked about that yet. Like, whose call was it? And let's see if he scapegoats anybody, but that is on the head coach. But overall, situationally, after that horrible decision, which we'll get into deeper, yeah, I think they seem well-drilled on some of that situational... clock management, like that sort of stuff. I think that's been good all year with Drake May.
I thought, too, it represented, we are talking a lot about the fourth quarter, but some adjustments in the game that they had to make partly because of all the injuries that they suffered. You talk about Travion Henderson going out, bringing Rhamondre into basically the only time it didn't really work for him was when they had that little wheel route that looked like such a Travion Henderson play for him in the end zone.
Oh, the third down deep shot, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought like, oh, that is like such an obvious Travion Henderson play, but Rhamondre just wasn't executed and he got like one hand on it and it didn't work. But other than that, like I thought kind of the opposite of the Buffalo game, they were able to make some adjustments as the game went on. And again, Baltimore adjusted in the wrong way. But I really think that should give you confidence. It should give you confidence in the resilience of the team and their execution, that they can screw up or they can have a bad call that or no call against them and they can shrug it off. Because you hear athletes talk about that all the time. Oh, you know, have a short memory, all the cliches. But it's much harder to go out and execute it. I think that's something that comes a little bit naturally to Drake, is that he can shrug it off and not have it weigh on him for the next play. But I do think that it kind of like trickles down to the rest of the team in a way where they look really confident in those spots.
I think, again, beyond just the win, and they needed that win. They're still in the mix for the one seed. They should have the division wrapped up. I was looking through all the ESPN calculations and playoff metrics and things like this. They're in the driver's seat for the division. They still have a good shot at the one seed, which we can get to. So not only was it a big win, I do think like that character and being able to overcome it, that is a hallmark of a good team. Bad teams let the refs and a bad call that goes against them snowball, and they can't get past it, and they can't score a couple of plays later and put away the Ravens. This team did that, and I do think that's the hallmark of a good team. 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe, Mego in for Rich. On a Patriots Monday, we're talking about the Pats' 28-24 win over the Ravens and what it means for them going forward. We'll get to Drake May, a potential MVP moment, fourth quarter for Drake May last night. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The New England Patriots have clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2021 after last night's 28-24 come-from-behind win over the Ravens in Baltimore. Drake May finished the game 31 of 44 for 380 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Rhamondre Stevenson ran for 51 yards on 8 carries and a touchdown. Craig Woodson and Marcus Jones each had a fumble recovery in the victory. Up next, the Pats will be in New York to take on the Jets next Sunday. Yesterday, the Jets lost 29-6 to the Saints in New Orleans. Week 16 wraps up with a Monday Night Football matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts. You can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7. Westwood One's pregame coverage begins at 7 o'clock and kickoff from Lucas Oil Stadium is at 8:15. The Boston Bruins have now dropped 3 in a row after falling 6-2 to the Ottawa Senators at the TD Garden. David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy scored the Bees' only goals, and Jonas Korpisalo was pulled after giving up 5 goals on 17 shots faced. The Bruins will wrap up their homestand tomorrow night against the Montreal Montreal Canadiens. Yesterday, the Boston Red Sox acquired first baseman Wilson Contreras and $8 million in cash from the St. Louis Cardinals in exchange for right-handed pitcher Hunter Dobbins and two pitching prospects. Tonight, the Boston Celtics look to make it three wins in a row when the Seas host the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are currently on a four-game losing streak. Tip-off from the TD Garden is at 7:30. And also tonight on WEEI AM 850, you can hear the call of the Boston College Eagles taking on the FDU Knights. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45 and tip-off from Conti Forum is at 7 o'clock. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Johnson, seventh-year veteran, former Raven, in the lineup. May, taking a deep shot. Downfield, towards Williams. He brought it in. That's a touchdown. That is Kyle Williams. His third of the year. Tremendous over-the-shoulder catch. Game on in Baltimore.
And Keith here on WEEI. Mego in for Rich today. It's Patriots Monday. All your phone calls 617-779-7937. We will talk to Christian Ellis later on in the show today. We'll take a look at some of what went down throughout the AFC and what it means for the Patriots coming up. But that touchdown last night, Mego, I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous throw. Really good catch by Kyle Williams. I mean, to stay in bounds and have that concentration with two defenders around you. I think he's a guy who I've had a real roller coaster fandom of this year, where he makes a play and you go, oh, okay, I see it. And then you don't see it for a few games. Even the play against Tampa, I didn't think people gave him enough credit on, honestly. It was like, oh, it was just a great throw by Drake. I'm like, we had to run away from everybody on that defense. And then there's been long stretches where he doesn't look locked in and on the same page. I mean, having a piece like that for the defense to have to think about, and I don't know if that's partially because Pop Douglas was out of the game at that point in time, or if that was planned all along for him to have that sort of role. But having a piece like that that can give you a big play in the postseason from what's a very productive rookie class, it's a pretty nice thing to have.
Yeah, is it possible that he's just young? Like, I know that we are so used to having guys like Ja'Marr Chase come in and be an immediate Justin Jefferson type with wide receivers. Kyle Williams had a very up and down camp. You were there for most of it. So you saw there were times when he just disappeared completely, was pushed way down the depth chart. You're like, what's going on here? Does he get it? He's got an excellent attitude, like happy-go-lucky guy in the locker room. And I do think that there's something to the patience that somebody like him and even earlier in the season, Travion Henderson have shown, where there is an expectation, even from those guys' perspective, that, hey, you're a high enough draft pick, you're going to see the field pretty quickly, and you're going to be part of an offense that wasn't productive the year before. So in a way, I think, like, yeah, it's been a roller coaster. He disappears at moments or for stretches. But that's kind of like the wide receiver room in general, right? We're going to talk about Stephon Diggs, and he had three games where he wasn't very productive for the standard that people have for him. And then he completely explodes last night. So I do think that there's a certain patience that you need to function in this offense and just have a trust that, like, you're going to have a spot, you're going to have an opportunity. But if you don't make the most of it, like, that opportunity might not come around for another two or three games.
Sticking with Diggs for a moment. You know, the primetime Steph, I think that's mostly been real, right? He had a great game against the Jets. He had the early one against Buffalo. He had the one last night. There was the Giants hiccup there in the middle that wasn't his best game. But overall, I think there's something to that. There's probably something to his return to Maryland as well.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. He was talking about it with you guys on Wednesday, right? Yeah, he's like, it's a homecoming game for me.
Kind of. I will say, because Steph and I, my high school was in his hometown, and his high school was in my hometown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I went to the public. Minute. I went to the public.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you, Jackson. We were all waiting for it. Wait a minute. You went to the high school in his town,
yeah,
and then he went to the high school in your town? How's that work?
Because I went to the public school, and he went to the private school.
You guys are like exchange students.
We were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So he went to the private school that was in my town, and I went to the public school, which was like a 20-minute drive away.
Got it.
Just like wacky Maryland public school stuff. But yeah, I know. Anyway, this is all to say, it's like all well over an hour from Baltimore. I wouldn't call it like a homecoming.
Well, it's the closest he's going to get, though, right? Or no?
I guess so. Okay. Yeah, because of the Commanders.
I have bad geography. I have bad geography intel on this. It's not a homecoming for him.
It's kind of.
Okay.
Maryland. I mean, just as much a homecoming for Mac Hollins. I didn't hear him talk about it a lot.
No.
Mac Hollins is from one town over from Steph Diggs.
Look,
and
I love Mac Hollins, but it's a good point. Mac Hollins is not a look at me, make it about himself kind of guy. So that is a good point about Mac Hollins.
Mac Hollins, just he shies away from the limelight. He doesn't like the attention. He's just there to play ball. So
I like the receiver room this year, and I didn't think that was going to be the case. And it got pretty loud last week that the receiver room may not be good enough. And you know, I don't know if Diggs is still a number one, but in other words, like, for the offseason, if you could get a receiver better than Diggs, maybe that's worth investigating. I'm not telling you their receiver room is perfect. I don't think the receiver room's going to be their issue if they get knocked out of the playoffs. I don't think that's going to be the letdown. And I thought it was good that it looks like Diggs knows the offense again. Like, it was a weird one-week brain fart for him where he forgot the offense, reportedly, allegedly. And now all of a sudden, what do you know? He knows the offense. It's almost like that wasn't his problem last week.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Talk me through that because I'm out of the loop on this. There was a concern that Diggs was not on his routes.
Yeah. He looked checked out and almost like he wasn't, didn't know what was going on last week against Buffalo.
I thought he was getting like blanketed for most of the game. And the only guy who was, and I mean, Hunter Henry as well, the only guy who was left was Mac Hollins, and he could barely connect with Drake for whatever reason.
So look, I always thought that was strange too. And if I was going to choose to do this, and we'll talk about this a little bit coming up. Vrabel was asked about the whole Josh McDaniels blow up from last week.
Ooh.
My conspiracy theory on this is that Vrabel called out McDaniels, and then after McDaniels got called out, McDaniels, you know, to his pals in the media there, the McDaniels mafia, turned around and said, oh, well, you know, it was actually Diggs didn't know what he was doing. That's my big conspiracy theory on how all that went down last week, because it started with Vrabel in the morning, and then by the afternoon, it's like, oh, geez, by the way, it looks like Diggs doesn't know the offense anymore. Oh, convenient now that the offensive coordinator is under a little bit of fire. So I thought that was nonsense. And I think with Diggs in these big games, you can see it coming early. Like, he did that against the Bills. The first catch he had, he looked different. Like, he was shot out of a cannon. Last night, he had that great 20-yard catch where he has to elevate for it. He gets knocked to the ground. He had another 30-plus yarder in the first half. 100-yard game for him last night. Like, big-time production. And I think in big spots where you need to rely on him, I think he played the second most snaps of his season last night. In big spots where you need to rely on him, I think he's going to come through more often than not. So I don't have a big issue with that receiver room at all.
No, I don't either. I was a little nervous when he was moving that shoulder around because he's a tough guy, but he's not the biggest guy.
No.
And he gets hit. Like, he gets beat up out there. And then him going into the 10, I never thought it was a head injury. I know, but I thought maybe they'll find something with the shoulder, and that could be a real problem for them. I don't know if you saw the video that was circulating around at all on social media, where I actually saw it this morning because, like, Twitter is so messed up. It shows me stuff that's 18 hours old. But it was some...
You got to go to the following, not the For You.
No,
that's
But it always opens the For You for me. And then when I opened it, like, the first thing I saw was one of these random accounts with, you know, like, somebody's stupid cartoon in it. And it's like, look at Diggs. We've seen this before. And it's Diggs walking up and down the sideline and raising his arms and yelling. And people are putting videos of him yelling at Josh Allen. And this was clearly something that someone tweeted in game while the Patriots were down 11 points. And I'm thinking, the broadcast caught him gesturing to the other guys on the bench. Like
rile him up.
Keep your chin up.
Yeah,
like,
we got
this. I'm like, this is so strange that people are just sitting here expecting it to turn so sour, especially when he was having, for the first three quarters of the game, he still had like 76 receiving yards.
Yeah.
Like, he was productive the entire game.
So I've been most impressed with that with Diggs this year. I didn't think, and he may not be, if he's here for 2 or 3 years, he's worn out his welcome elsewhere, but he's been, I think, a leader on this team. You know, when a model teammate on this team, which that surprised me because I didn't anticipate that. So that's definitely something I was wrong about. Meanwhile, a lot of people wrong about Drake May not being able to come through with a come-from-behind victory last night. Vrabel talked about May after the game. Here's what he had to say.
Mike, what did you think of Drake?
I just thought gritty. I mean, he got hit. He got hit. They pressured, or they got home when they didn't. And, you know, he just kept getting up and battling. I didn't flinch. And, again, I think it was important for all of us to, you know, have that game, the entire team.
He's right about May getting pressured. May was pressured on 47% of his dropbacks in the fourth quarter, according to ESPN. He completed 86% of his passes, 12 out of 14, for 139 yards and 9.9 yards per attempt. So the Ravens were all over him, hung in, and made some big throws. Do you think, and I don't know if you've seen the odds, I'll give you the odds in a moment, but I want your answer first. Do you think that was an MVP type of moment, fourth quarter, you know, situation for Drake May last night on national TV?
I don't. Unfortunately, like, I think that it builds his case as an elite quarterback when people look at him and think of moments like, oh, he has this spectacular, almost perfect second half against Cleveland. He has a 10-game win streak with his team. He has the come-from-behind victory against the Ravens late in December when half the team is banged up. These are moments that I think continue to build his case for why he's legit and why he should be somebody to be feared in the playoffs. But I just think it's Matthew Stafford's year. Like, I do think that at the end of the day, the narrative is going to be Matthew Stafford is deeper in his career. He was in a wasteland in Detroit for forever. He already won it, but, like,
so you think
he deserves
it
again.
You think it's a make good?
I do. I think it's, and everybody's expecting Stafford to hang it up. He was so injured coming into the season that all of this was kind of a bit of a surprise for him. I just think it's still a little bit of a stretch to give it to Drake, even though we've seen them give it to young quarterbacks recently with Lamar and he who shall not be named that has been knocked out of the playoffs with an ACL. I just think that it's Stafford's year. And I don't, I think also the two turnovers early in the game, he hurt his team a lot. It wasn't a perfect performance. It was a gutsy performance, but it wasn't like a great overall body of work.
I think he's going to have trouble catching Stafford statistically. You know, their teams are both right around the same point in time. Stafford's coming off a loss where he gave his team the lead in overtime. But May wound up getting his team the victory. I think that swings it back a little bit. I'm looking at FanDuel for MVP odds. Matt Stafford minus 195, Drake May plus 170. DraftKings is similar. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to win it, but I don't know. I don't think Stafford is a slam dunk either. Like, let's see how these last couple of games go, and a lot can swing. But I agree, it was not a perfect game last night for Drake May, which probably works against him somewhere along the line. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Mego in today on a Patriots Monday. We'll get to Mike Vrabel, his appearance this morning on the Greg Hill Show. Some good stuff there. That's next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come on, Hunter. Come on, Mo. Make this quick, fellas. You put yourselves in a football game. And you went out, and I saw you compete your asses off, okay? Road Warriors, we talked about it. Went in together. Listen to me. We had guys step up, okay? We had guys go down. Everybody contributed to this win, okay? And we got some players in here that are starting to realize what they can do, okay? We had some guys that make it to the game. Again, I'm proud to be your coach, okay? But we got a long way to go. I want you to realize what your potential is and what we can do if you just compete and stick together. Rest, we got a short week, we got Christmas, we got a schedule, you got families, we got work to do. We're far from being done. Diggsy, break the...
Hey, I love you boys. That's way to fight and come in here with that mindset, all right? Hey, we all we got!
We all we need!
Gang on three, 1, 2, 3!
Gang!
Maybe Mike Vrabel's not familiar with his Maryland geography either. He let Diggs break down the team. Well, actually, Mike, it's not that close to
actually,
Baltimore.
Actually, he's a Montgomery County guy, and Baltimore is like, it's like claiming Providence when you're from Wellesley. Like, it just doesn't make sense,
it's
guys.
Not. It's like
it just doesn't make sense. It's not like it's inaccurate. It's just a little odd.
Yeah. The TV broadcast with downtown Boston cityscapes when you're out in Foxborough, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad because our friend Tommy Freeze Pops was down for the game, and he was like, "Hey, I'm staying in Rockville. Do you Rockville, Maryland? Like, do you have any good restaurant recommendations there?" And I was like, "No,
I don't."
I was like,
"I don't, Pops.
You're like that's suburban strip mall right there. So enjoy.
Nice. Ooh, nice.
Yeah, he was like, you know, I don't want to name any names in case they're a wonderful sponsor of ours.
Yeah.
But I was like, you're going to know what you're going to get. I'm not sure you're going to find like a chef over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you'll have been there before, just to the Massachusetts version of it. So the Patriots are now 7-0 on the road. They've locked up a playoff spot. I was looking over some of the ESPN FPI, the Football Power Index, Mego. They project these things out. I know other websites have their different formulas. This is ESPN's. You can present others if they're out there. But the Patriots are, they've broken them down into make the playoffs, win division, earn the number one seed. Pats are obviously at 100% to make the playoffs, just them and the Broncos in the AFC. To win the division, the Pats somehow are only at 79% to win the division. Buffalo's at 21. So I guess they're allowing for the Pats dropping one of these final two, which I don't think they're going to do. Certainly to the Jets and Brady Cook, and I don't think to the Dolphins and Quinn Ewers based on how they looked yesterday against against Cincinnati. So the Pats have a good chance to win the division. And then they also have the highest chance in the AFC to get the one seed. They are at 40%. Broncos lost yesterday to Jacksonville. They're at 36%. Jags are kind of in the mix for it at 14%. And then somehow the Chargers and Bills still have shots at 6 and 4% respectively. But right now, according to ESPN, based on their win and the Broncos' loss, the Pats actually have the best chance at the number one seed, which is why, again, last night wasn't just about overcoming a bad call. It wasn't just about beating a team in Baltimore who's only 7-8 and without their MVP. That game kept you alive for the one seed, which is huge for their Super Bowl aspirations and the chances of going on a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, the team's been mostly opportunistic, like big picture and in games. I think that's something that Mike Vrabel was very focused on going into the season when he took this job. It was taking advantage of bad football and then making that part of their identity through the whole summer and fall. And now here we are in the winter. But I think that's why the Buffalo game felt like such a, sorry, there's no other way to say this, just like such a wet fart. Because like the second half, you're like,
there's definitely no other way. There's no other way. That's it. I agree.
You were up 21-0. There's factually no other way to describe it because they were the opposite of that. And so do I expect them to get the one seed? Not really. Like I without having the Broncos schedule right in front of me, I do think they can get the division. The Buffalo has to see the Eagles at home on Sunday. And then they should beat the Jets. Although if you lose to the Eagles and that's not in play, like who knows?
No, but I'll make it simple for you. You expect the Patriots to win these next two, right?
Yes.
So then
yes.
Do you think, thank you. Do you think Denver could drop one? Probably not at Kansas City on Christmas.
No. That whole Christmas slate is so bad.
It's not great.
It's awful.
I didn't realize there's three more games on Christmas.
They're all bad. They're not just bad like these teams aren't in contention. They're bad like these are names you've barely heard of playing quarterback.
Oh, they're gonna matter to Billy Lanny on the way to our fantasy championship here at WEEI. Big win over Andy Hart. So those games are gonna matter to Lanny. But I agree. They don't matter much to me other than my
I'll be watching the NBA.
My betting accounts. So at KC, probably a win. They're on to their third quarterback, for God's sakes, a guy I'd never heard of out there running around yesterday. But then they do wrap up with the Chargers in Week 18. Like, I don't think those are gimmies. And so right now, if you expect the Broncos to lose one, all the Patriots got to do is win out, and they have the one seed.
Yeah, I think it's worth like fighting for, obviously. I think that they should push for that. It's insane that they're in this position that looking back to where we were at in August, September, even after that Raiders game, that they could have the number one seed. I will say, like, I do think, tell me if you feel differently. When we look back on this year, not like just being the Patriots market, but overall, we're going to look back and say it was a really messy AFC year.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So many flukes. It almost feels like akin to like the 2007. The Brady year that he tore his ACL.
2008.
Yeah, following year. Like, it feels akin to that where it's like, well, you know, a lot of the big dogs are out, so anything is possible for anybody. And I think, again, that's where the Patriots have to be ultra opportunistic. But I do think there's going to be a sense of this of us looking back 3 years from now and being like, that was one of the weirder years.
Well,
the parity was nuts.
No, I mean, Burrow, Lamar, and Mahomes all got hurt. Now, Burrow was back. Lamar's been in and out. And Mahomes didn't get hurt until late in the year. It was already a lost season for them. But, I mean, just to put it simply, all three of those guys got hurt. So May and Nix, Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, they're all trying to knock on the door and go on a run for the first time. I think Lawrence is the only one of that group that's won a playoff game yet.
Yeah, do you buy into him? Like, have you bought in yet?
No, I buy in a little bit on the Jags, but not him specifically, no. Like, yeah. I feel similar about Seattle last week. I'm like, I don't believe in Darnold at all, but they might just be so talented everywhere else that they can overcome it. I feel a little similar about the Jags.
The thing is, if Lawrence was with a different team and doing this, I would buy into it.
Yeah.
Because I would look at it as one of these situations where, oh, he's like Baker Mayfield. He had to get a shot somewhere else, a fresh, clean start. But because he's just been rotting in Jacksonville this whole time, I'm just over it.
No, but
I just don't believe the sustainability.
I don't either. And, you know, but he's the only one sitting there with a playoff win in that new crop of QBs. And then you have Josh Allen, who's like, it's right there for the Bills to go get it, which is something we'll circle back to when we talk about teams we'd like the Patriots to face and teams to avoid coming up. Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year. It's brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. You saw the viral video, I'm sure, Mego. Were you even there when Will Campbell pounded the beer the other night? Were you there for that?
I was not there for that, but I saw the video everywhere.
Okay, so everybody's seen it. Vrabel was asked about it today. It was a pretty good answer.
I know you don't like talking about injuries, but just, I got to ask, did you see the video of Will Campbell chugging the beer? And just if you enjoyed his form at the Celtics game, shirtless, pretty well done.
I'm thinking about firing a strength coach the way he looked with his shirt off.
Okay, they like that. It was funny. That is an, if you want to say that Mike Vrabel is just an a-hole or he's got an attitude to him and he'll take little shots at everybody, a la Josh McDaniels last week, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a cute play call. It's a pretty good example of it. Like, the fourth overall pick is up there, and it was an awesome beer pound. Like, 2 or 3 second beer pound, spiked it, like a great moment. And Vrabel's like, well, yeah, I might have to fire the strength trainer because he looked a little flabby up there on the big screen.
So, first of all, if you want to go back and watch this on the Jumbotron, his mistake is wearing jeans with the shirt off.
Because
the
what it
jeans,
is?
He has the waist cinched with the belt.
Yeah.
It's going to give you the muffin top. It's going to create certainly a muffin top.
It certainly gives me one every time I throw a belt on. That's
exactly.
True.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You cinch that belt. Like, you would, if you're going to rip your shirt off, you got to know. You got to, like, loosen up there a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to be exposing the muffin top. But I also think, I have a theory that I think Will Campbell sneaky might be very funny.
Yeah.
I don't think he's interested in the media at all. I can guarantee you he does not give a damn about any of us. I don't know if he knows any of our names in the locker room or anything. But I have heard some things that behind closed doors, he is extremely funny. So I think that Vrabel feels like he can give him that jab. Because first of all, he's not going to feel it with that little muffin top. But second of all, he knows that he's going to give it back. You know, I feel like they have a similar kind of dry sense of a-hole humor to each other.
So, look, I mean, if you want to prop that up as evidence that, you know, Mike Vrabel's not afraid to take pot shots and have little criticism for people here and there, and that's how he carries himself, and that's part of the charm of Vrabel, I'll buy it. I don't know if that was the case with McDaniels because it's been pretty consistent, but I thought that was a good line.
Twitch chat is concerned that I'm calling out the muffin top. We love a muffin top, okay? Men need to know that ladies like a dad bob. They like a muffin top.
They like a
little softness because we don't want you in the gym all the time and being so shredded that it makes us self-conscious.
Well, this is alleged. I hear women say this, but then anytime we're watching a show, Kat's never commenting on any guy's muffin top.
She's commenting on washboard abs?
She's commenting on abs and things like this. Yeah. They're handsome faces. I don't hear a lot of like, oh, I like that guy's muffin top. That's not anything Kat's ever said.
She doesn't want to make you jealous. She doesn't want to make you insecure. Calling out dudes' muffin tops.
I'll start paying closer attention
to it.
She's
like, give me that muffin top.
It's a good point.
Sorry, honey.
It's a good point. Honestly, if Kat started pointing out the muffin tops, I'd really be in trouble. I'd be like, God.
Yeah,
oh, God.
You would feel very insecure in your marriage, and you don't want that.
It's a good point.
I know your wife.
That's a good point.
She's a loving lady, and she's just going to be like, wow, washboard abs, what every woman wants.
Yeah, I see. It's a macho head game she's playing.
Yes.
617-779-7937. If you missed any of Vrabel this morning, it's on the Odyssey app. You can catch Drake May there later on today with WEEI Afternoons, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe or Mike Vrabel and Drake May here on a Patriots Monday. Let's get to a few second guesses for the Pats. We talked about the fake punt. I want to get more into that. I want to get into Christian Gonzalez, his night, his season with the Patriots. We'll do all that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.